everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom of Fairbanks Engineering and producing our show. Tom, looks like a pretty good weekend. As long as those 100-degree temperatures stay away, I think we can move forward.
Is there any kind of a ceremonial dance or something we can do to prevent the 100s from returning until, say, next summer?
How about next May? Yeah, but they have been known to come back in October. Hopefully they won't. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zilkalo Village Studio. They have the naming rights to our studio, and I'm glad they do. We have five radio stations here under one roof now in Tucson. Bustos Media has the five stations, and this station happens to be 1030 KVOI, Tucson's source, trusted source for local news and talk. We are off and running on Friday, September the 22nd. 2023, as we get ready to transition into the autumn season and say goodbye to the summer of 2023. We'll begin our 14th year with our radio program in January, and 36 years now TV and radio experience here in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening on my show and my website, podcast, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from KVOI for our live streaming. The Buckmaster Show live line for our telephone interviews, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The live line number is 790-2040. If there are any questions about water, now would be a great time to join in the conversation. A big shout out on Friday to our media partners who proudly display the Buckmaster logo on their homepage, so folks can just conveniently click over to us, TucsonSentinel.com, and the editor and publisher of that fine online news service with me in studio. Thank you, Dylan, for your support over many years now. Thanks, Dylan.
Well, you're very welcome, and right back at you.
The Green Valley News and Sahorita's Sun, Dan Shear and his team, support us. Tucson Local Media Group and their publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Dylan Smith is with us in studio, and as our Friday Focus interview today, John Kameek is here, director of, I get his name right. Most people that look at John, the way his name is spelled, and John, how many ever get it right? Probably 99% get it wrong.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, Bill.
Anyway, John is the director of Tucson Water, which serves 250,000 people in the Tucson Basin, and has implemented one of the most successful and notable water conservation programs in the country. Director Kameek previously served as director of the Marana Water System. He was there for 7 years. He is a longtime water leader in Arizona. The governor has Mr. Kameek on her water advisory committee. He's director also of the one of the directors of the Arizona Water Association Board, and also serves on the National Water Reuse Association. John, it's great to have you back on the show.
No, it's great to be here, Bill. Thank you.
Tucson Water was in the news, and Dylan, it's great to have you as well.
Thanks.
Okay. Tucson Water, that lawsuit over the city's differential water rates, a judge up in Maricopa County ruled that Tucson's policy of charging customers outside city limits more for water service is not just and reasonable. What can you tell us about that, and whether there will be an appeal, or is that something that's being discussed?
Yes, of course, Bill. I can't actually tell too much about it right now because we're in that process at the city of reviewing the situation. So, yeah, I can't provide very much more comment than that at this point.
One thing you can comment on, and I think you're pretty proud of it, is something called TucsonOneWater.com. What is that, John?
Great question. So over the last several years, Tucson Water has been updating its long-range water resource plan. And that document this year is called the Tucson One Water 2100 Plan. And that's going to be going in front of mayor and council for adoption on October 17th. We've had a lot of stakeholder involvement over the last several years. What's unique about this long-term plan for the city of Tucson and Tucson Water is that we give respect to the four water sources that we have in the community: our traditional groundwater, our imported Colorado River water or surface water, the use of reclaimed water, which we've been doing for many decades now. But this plan also adds in the value of stormwater and rainwater into the program.
So those are the bar stool, if you will.
Absolutely.
That's where we get our water. One thing I don't hear you talking about is what is commonly referred to as toilet to tap. That turns off a lot of people, I know, that expression, but it's a reality in many communities in Southern California.
It's a reality in many communities around the world now.
Yeah.
City of Phoenix is looking to do this at full scale, I believe within the next 10 years, adding it to their water portfolio directly. And for those of you who don't know, it'd be taking and purifying the wastewater product to a high quality water and then putting it directly into the drinking water system. So a full recycled system, if you will. The Tucson One Water Plan actually discusses the potential future of direct potable reuse in the Tucson area. So it's one of those water resources that we need to pay attention to, and it could be a potential for this for the Tucson region in a not-too-distant future if the community desires to go that way.
All right, here's Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com.
I've got a ton of questions for you, of course, but just right off the bat, like I go running with that aside that you opened with, I grew up in the upper Midwest, and I can't imagine saying your name any other way. I just can't wrap my head around how that might work. What else have people called you?
That's exactly right. I'm from Detroit, so upper Midwest as well, and people generally get it right there, but they haven't gotten right across the country.
And we should spell it so people know what we're talking about. It's K-M-I-E-C.
Correct.
Which is of Polish.
Kmeek. It's Polish.
What's
descent.
The problem?
10th century Polish.
It's pronounced just like it's spelled, basically, right?
All right.
So on that, the toilet to tap thread, isn't it basically just a matter of fact that every sip of water you take has probably been in someone's toilet at some point already?
Dylan, the water is recycled under earth all the time, whether it's on land or coming from the ocean and evaporating. Water has always been recycled on the earth for billions of years. What's unique, though, is that, now that the technology is available, that you can ultra-purify water.
And speed that up a little
bit. And speed up that process and safely deliver it to a community.
On the topic of that water rate lawsuit, I understand you don't want to really delve into your strategy about maybe appealing or anything at this point, as you're still discussing it and need to have the city council and mayor vote to decide what to do, correct? But it seems like the judge hinted at a pretty clear roadmap that would be acceptable under the law, which would be to do the study first to figure out how much more it costs to deliver water to people outside the city, if indeed it does, and if that's markedly different than areas of the city, and then charge people more.
All I can say on this, like you said, I can't comment directly on the case, but differential rates are a common practice in the water industry.
Other places in Arizona have them?
Other places, City of Phoenix, for example, charges 50% differential on its county customers.
Really?
Do they charge more for anybody who lives anyplace inside Phoenix because it's more expensive to get water to that spot? If you're inside the city limits, even if it's more expensive to get it to your neighborhood, you're covered?
Hmm. Yeah, that granularity I'm not aware of on their rate structure on that.
All right. Matt has called us. He has a question. He's calling on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Go ahead, Matt. You're with John Kmeek.
Yeah, getting on the name bandwagon, coming from Los Angeles, I can assure you, growing up, he would have been K-Mac. John, two quick questions. One, PFAS, the filters. We were living off a little grant from the state, like I think $1 to $3 million to help change out the filters. Where are we on the cost of the filters? And, what are you thinking about with regards to that, piece of real estate? The second thing is on CAP. We're selling back or giving back 40,000 acre feet of water. How long do you think that program's going to go, and what's happening with that money that we do get from it? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, just to, for the PFABs, it's a two-part question, but I think we need to do a little explaining. People may not know about what Matt is talking about with the PFABs. These are those long-lasting chemicals, the forever chemicals that the EPA says can be linked to harmful health effects. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, thank you. So PFAS, like Bill said, are those long-chain chemicals that are associated with firefighting foams in most communities. And so we've discovered many years ago that there was groundwater impacts north of Tucson International, as well as north of Davis-Monthan, from historic use on the base of training with these firefighting foams. They've been and ended up migrating into the groundwater supply. So what the utility has been doing, and not only ourselves, but the town of Marana and their utility, is we're avoiding these areas where PFAS is impacting the groundwater. However, as the city of Tucson, we've been trying to hold those accountable through working with the EPA and the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality to ensure that those who responsible parties will eventually not only reimburse the city of Tucson for the assets that have been turned off or things we've had to do at some of our facilities to adjust for that, but then also take care of the issue moving forward into the future. So what we've received in the last several months, and this would be related to the Tucson Airport Remediation Project, also known as TARP, which is a project that has historically been treating for TCE and more recently 1,4-dioxane, two other compounds altogether, where we discovered PFAS in the water supply at that facility several years ago. We stopped serving that for drinking water in 2021, but we still want to keep the remedy going to meet our obligations for the cleanup of the south side from the TCE exposure. So the state of Arizona is providing us $24.9 million to build a filtration plant ahead of the current plant that's there that'll be strictly tied to removing PFAS. So we can safely recover the water from the south side, remove the PFAS, and then it can go through its treatment process that was already constructed for TCE and 1,4-dioxane, and then that water is now being delivered to the reclaimed water system as well as the Santa Cruz River. So it's no longer going to the drinking water supply, but we are getting beneficial use from that water. Remediated groundwater is what it's called, to augment supplies on the reclaimed water system as well as creating a riparian habitat on the Santa Cruz.
Now, the second part of his question had to do with CAP or Central Arizona Project. Do you have a response to Matt on that one?
Yes. Over the last several years, many people may have seen in the news that we've been in a position where we've been able to help the Bureau of Reclamation and help strengthen the water supply of the Colorado system by turning back some water. In 2022, we turned back, I think, just over 25,600 acre feet, and we're compensated for that. And then more recently, we volunteered to be on a three-year program with the Bureau of Reclamation to turn back 50,000 acre feet this year. And then in 2024 and in 2025, each of those years, we can turn back about 30,000 acre feet a year. Just as a reminder for the Tucson community, our total water use is about 100,000 acre feet a year, but our CAP contract is 144,191. So we've been banking excess water for many years now and have close to 6 years of excess CAP. So having the flexibility now to turn back some of that water to help the Colorado River system is an option that Tucson was able to do. So what we're doing with the money, I think, was the second half of Max's question. So we have several large-scale capital improvement projects we're looking at. Our recharge facilities in Avra Valley are now over 20 years old or close to 20 years old, so there's large improvements we're going to want to do to those projects, as well as another project to support the reclaimed water system in being able to take water from the Tres Rios plant from Pima County and put it directly in the reclaimed system. Right now, it's all going to the Santa Cruz, so there's some loss of water supply to the community until we can make that connection. And we're also looking at a big portion of that is to help do a PFAS treatment plant on the northwest side. So part of the issues with PFAS, like I mentioned, we're avoiding these groundwater areas, but we'd like to bring some of those wells back and put on some advanced treatment so we can support the local water resiliency in those areas.
All right, time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I know Pat is waiting on line one. Rather than keep Pat over through the break, why don't we take him on line one and take Pat's question, and then we'll talk about Mona's. So let's hear what Pat has to say. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, Bill. I'm a she. The mayor has proposed planting over 1 million trees, which is a good thing. But where is that water going to come from to water them?
Good question. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, John Kniep.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. That question comes up quite a bit to the city. One of the big projects that we're doing at the city is our green stormwater infrastructure program, or our storm to shade program. So a lot of these trees, which will be desert adaptable, you know, desert native plants that the mayor is proposing, you know, in keeping in touch with our Sonoran Desert conservation, most of those will eventually be integrated with a lot of our green stormwater or storm to shade projects throughout the community. So the idea is to bring back native vegetation and then have the water infrastructure in the urban environment be able to maintain as much as possible the livelihood of those trees moving forward.
All right. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. What about it, John? Do you like bakery goods?
Yes. Yeah. Being of Polish descent, I never pass up a good bakery product.
All right. Mona's is ready for you. They're open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30 Monday through, I said Monday, and of course they do take now Monday off, well-deserved, after a busy weekend. What could you go for right now, Dylan Smith?
You know, I need at least one more good hot cup of coffee today. I got to admit it, and I'm sure they have that.
They have that, and maybe you'd like something sweet to go with it.
Actually, I'll go for a sandwich right now.
Oh, good idea.
Yep, it's lunchtime.
They do great sandwiches up at Mona's. Check out their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Right, their bread is fantastic. Wide variety of European-style breads and pastries. All right, thanks to Steve and the team for their sponsorship at Mona's. Now let's hear from the rest, or some of the rest, of the great sponsors that keep this program on the air. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region.
Yuma County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. My co-host today from the media, we always try to bring in a co-media host on Friday for our Friday Focus interview. And this week it's Dylan Smith, editor and co-publisher and founder of the online news service TucsonSentinel.com. And Dylan is also president of the Arizona Press Club. He's past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion is an acronym for Local Independent Online News Publishers. John Kamik is with us. John is the director of Tucson Water. And Dylan, let's get back to you with a question. I know you brought in a stack of stuff today of questions, so let's try to cut into some of those.
Well, but many of these questions are thanks to the rest of the team at the Tucson Sentinel who helped me brainstorm a few things that they want to know about. One of those is there is a deadline at the end of this month. I think it came from the state, the Department of Environmental Quality, about PFAS and a plan to have the Air Force and the Airport Authority, like, kind of divvy up their responsibility for things, you know, for moving ahead with this the treatment plan. Can you explain this a little bit more? And,
yes.
And are they going to meet this deadline? Is this or another bureaucratic thing that's just not on time?
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to talk about this because this is, this is part of the PFAS response that the city's been looking for mm-hmm. a number of years. So the EPA and the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality on June 30th issued a letter to parties, the Air Force, Air National Guard, and Tucson Airport Authority. And it dictated exactly what you're saying, a bunch of actions that they'd like them to take. One of the primary actions is to come up with a plan to reimburse the city of Tucson for the money we've spent dealing with the PFAS issue, particularly in the TARP Tucson mm-hmm. Airport area. So one of our obligations as we're part of this is we have to provide invoices and records to those entities so that they can figure out how to divvy that up and reimburse the city. And we did that to the tune of about $28.4 million. Gave that to them. Those are representative past costs, but there will be future costs yeah. as well. So this September 30th deadline, those parties will be meeting with EPA and ADEQ and presenting their plans moving forward.
So are they going to meet that deadline?
I believe they will. There's been update meetings throughout okay. the summer on this. So the EPA and ADEQ have been very explicit on what their expectations are, and we'll see what happens.
Because the city's had to put out so much money for so long over these years because all these other entities have not wanted to step up to the plate.
Exactly. A lot of it has been those other entities have been waiting for definitive EPA actions mm-hmm. on whether or not and if they'll end up being drinking water contaminants, which now they're moving down the pathway that we anticipate later this year. PFAS compounds will be part of the drinking water rule. So once they're regulated, then there's more emphasis on the cleanup actions.
Right. Yeah. So, Bill, you started the show chatting with Tom a little bit about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
John, does that long, hot summer, like the one we just endured, affect the amount of water that we're using in a significant way?
Great question, because when it is dry in the summertime before the monsoons come, we do see the uptick in irrigation as people are wanting to keep their outside
people trying to keep their swimming pools filled for the folks who have pools still. And
Yep, exactly, exactly.
Just so wanting to take one extra shower just because you got too hot and sweaty.
There's always that traditional uptick in drinking water. One of the good things that the city did many years ago, and it's coming up on the 40th anniversary, is creating that reclaimed water system to take that irrigation pressure off of the drinking water supply. So most of the turf that you see in the Tucson community is on that purple pipe system, that recycled system. So it takes that seasonal takes a big part of that seasonal variability off of meeting the drinking water needs. But there still is drinking water needs during the summer with people related at single family homes and whatnot using irrigation. So when it is dry, we do see an uptick. Yeah.
Let's go to our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Calling us on line one, Bunker. Hey, Bunker, welcome to the show. Hi, Bunker. Bunker's still there. There he is. Go ahead, Bunker.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question for your panel. This is dealing with the Dene, the Navajo Nation. They have a case before SCOTUS. I believe it's still active concerning access to the Colorado River. And as I understand, if they should win the case, which it's questionable, it would have a really adverse effect on all of the negotiations now about allotment. Can you gentlemen enlighten me on anything there?
I think that the Navajos did not win that case in the Supreme Court. I could be wrong about that. John, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, no, on this particular
Tom can do a quick update on Navajo water case before the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't know, Bunker, but it might still be going on, but of course, the Indian nations, John, do have a stake in this whole Colorado River water issue.
Yes, absolutely. Particularly inside the state of Arizona, we have the Gila River Indian tribes and then our local tribes here in the Tucson area that have Colorado River allotments.
Okay, I was right. It was a 5-4 ruling, Bunker, and the Navajo Nation lost the case.
Yeah, I know, because part of the situation was that they were not included in the compact with the other tribes.
Right.
And the Department of Interior was very adamantly against it. So anyhow, thank you, gentlemen, for letting me at least know how it turned out.
Yep.
All right, thank you,
5-4 decision about a month or so ago, and the majority ruled. This goes all the way back to a 1868 treaty. Wow. Known to the nation as Old Paper, which kind of really established no federal obligation to the Navajo Nation for water. So that's how far back this goes. Anyway, Dylan, let's get back into your stack of stuff from some of the reporters at TucsonSentinel.com.
How are we doing with the whole drought situation, you know, writ large? You know, we've been able to, you know, keep essentially giving back water. And as you said, we have what, 6 years of basically Colorado River water rights banked up. But if things keep trending the way they have, aren't we going to end up in trouble at some point?
Water sustainability, long-term picture.
Yeah, long-term picture. Well, to get a good look at the long-term picture for Tucson Water and the city of Tucson, I'm going to promote the TucsonOneWater.com webpage, because that gives a lot of details on our water planning and where we see ourselves. We rely regionally on the Colorado River, and that's the bulk of our water supply. But we also are heavily relying on our local supplies, mm-hmm. as well. So one of those waters that we talked about earlier, wastewater effluent or the recycled water, that is obviously something that we want to increase our portfolio because it is locally controlled, locally managed, and we don't have to rely on others for that over the next several decades. So that'll be key with that. The good news on the Colorado, and it's only one season, mm-hmm. But the season we had last year, the snowpack in the Colorado Basin made a tremendous rebound in Lake Powell and Lake Mead, as well as the upper, smaller reservoirs in Colorado and Utah themselves. That on August 15th, the Bureau of Reclamation is reversing one drought-tiered status. We were in a Tier 2 right now, and that's based on an elevation of Lake Mead. But their projections for January 1st is we will be back up into the Tier 1 range. Mm-hmm. So it's heading in a great direction because of that heavy snowpack this year, and as well as the system conservation efforts that the city of Tucson, as well as other people, by leaving water in the Colorado River system, are all leaning in a good direction.
So it seems like, you know, we don't face an immediate water crisis here in Tucson, but there are still reasons to be tackling becoming more sustainable here, and, you know, long-term investing in these projects.
Yeah. What I like to tell people that I talk to around the community is we have enough water to thrive, but not enough to waste. So keep doing what you're doing. Be water conscious at your home and at your business. And Tucsonans are actually doing a great job of making us one of the most resilient cities in the West.
And when is everybody else going to step up? You know, everybody in the Phoenix metro area, you know, they waste a lot of water up there, right?
They're quickly following our lead. They're pulling out lawn and grass as quickly as they possibly can, where we're very much a desert city.
John, one of the most common questions I know you and the team get at Tucson Water is the water safe? We talked about the PFABs and that water is not being delivered to homes, but the water that is being delivered, is it safe?
Yes, we have one of the most robust water quality programs in the country. We do what's regulatory required, but we actually go well above and beyond. And we take a lot of discretionary samples throughout our system all the time to make sure that there's nothing new that's popping up, or and the water is remaining at the quality that we wish to serve it across the community. So Tucson Water invests a lot of money in monitoring and tracking the water quality throughout the basin. Being one of the largest groundwater systems in the country, we have hundreds of wells. So those hundreds of wells we test routinely, as well as the water in the system itself, to make sure that it's at that high standard that we desire.
And then it goes back to your lab, and you've got some really qualified, specialized people that just do this, right?
Oh, yeah. We have our whole certified EPA-certified laboratory and a whole team of scientists that are out there moving samples on a daily basis.
Let's go to the live line again, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Gil is up to bat on line one. Hey, Gil, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you to your guest. Just a comment I wanted to make. I bought a house, a townhouse, in a gated community that had a pool and a hot tub. And I filled it in, and the only mistake I made is not filling it in sooner. My electric bill went down. My water bill went down. Now that chemicals are selling at a premium, I saved a ton of money, and I feel a lot better about not wasting water. To me, we should maybe start thinking about the number of holes people can have. After all, this is the desert.
Yeah, actually, Gil, you bring up a good point. There are a lot of pools, I think I'm saying a lot, I'm actually speaking from personal experience, of pools that are out there that people are not using but are very costly. Some of your thoughts, John, on that?
Yeah, we're hearing and seeing the same thing. I think the number of pools per house in the 1970s compared to where it is today is dramatically different.
Yeah.
And if people do have pools, they're not the 30 by 15 foot deep pools that used to probably go in back in the day. They're
Olympic size.
Yeah, they're the more of the pocket pools, just for family comfort.
Yeah. Sure. Dylan, let's see if we can get another question in from the Sentinel people.
Yeah. Well, actually, this one just popped into my head. You know, the city offers incentives to people to set up rainwater harvesting systems. You can get paid back up to a couple thousand bucks, depending on the sort of system that you put in. You can get incentives for adding gray water to your house. Why don't we help people fill in their pools?
Yeah, that's come up.
If somebody wants to do it, and, you know, it's not free to, you know, get somebody to show up and do it in the right kind of way. You can't just grab a wheelbarrow and dig up the rest of your yard to do it.
Right, exactly. No, that has come up in discussions with our conservation team in the past, but yeah, there hasn't been an action related to that other than advising people how much water they can save if they eliminate their pool and how to go about and do it. But where council's directed us more recently is that ornamental turf. Mm-hmm. So now that's be the next big program on our conservation team is how to help those people, particularly commercial and industrial customers that have ornamental turf that's not being used. Why have it? And they can save money, and we can help them with their landscaping and to replace that. Yeah.
John, final thoughts before we wrap it up from you?
Just a reminder to all the Tucson Water customers out there that, we have a huge team, more than 560 employees, and we're out there throughout the area working hard for you 24/7, 365. And like I mentioned before, we have enough water to thrive, but not enough to waste. Mm-hmm. Keep doing a great job, Tucson community, and being conservation-minded. And this community is going to be here for a long time.
And you try to answer all these calls when people have, on the consumer, your hotline, right?
Yes, absolutely. If anybody has any questions at any time, we have a website or phone call that they can reach out to us, and someone will get back to them.
All right, John Kamik. Thank you, John. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
All right, we'll continue with the Buckmaster Show on our Friday Focus interview, and we'll transition from the Friday Focus interview into my discussion with Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com, and we'll talk with Dylan right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to John Kamik, the director of Tucson Water, and thanks to all of our callers on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, and it's always great to welcome back to the show my friend Dylan Smith, editor co-founder, co-publisher, not co-founder, but founder.
It's all the same.
Yeah, of the TucsonSentinel.com, which had a pretty interesting story, kind of a sclew, as we say in the business, an exclusive on Chuck Huckleberry, the longtime Pima County administrator. Mr. Huckleberry, I believe, was like almost 30 years.
29 years and change.
So why, what do we know about federal authorities looking into a particular practice that Mr. Huckleberry carried out?
Well, as we reported last year, Huckleberry exercised a clause in his contract that allowed him to retire and collect his pension and continue as a contractor, still being paid the same salary as the county administrator. That's something that is legal under Arizona law. The curious thing about it was that he didn't tell his bosses, who are the elected members of the Board of Supervisors, that he was either going to do it, you know, that or had done it. They didn't know until we broke the news of that, as he was set to resign from the job last April, I believe it was, after having been in that terrible bike crash and then being in the hospital and not able to work for several months.
But the secret...
He resigned. He left his job when his sick leave ran out. And we were just curious why they were using the word resign rather than retire, and started asking some questions and got some information. And lo and behold, he had already retired 9 months previously. So the supervisors didn't know about that until we asked them what they thought about it. And now here it is 16 months later, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we learned recently that federal authorities are investigating the circumstances of what went down there. We're not quite sure what potential federal crime may be involved. What he did was something that is a common practice. It's just usually a little bit more above board, and people's bosses know that they've done it. But what they call a double dip for a pension is legal under certain circumstances in Arizona law. You have to, you know, abide by numerous sets of restrictions, and he was, from what we know, doing all of that.
And this,
but
is,
the feds are looking into it for some reason.
The U.S. Attorney's Office is the organization looking into it.
Well, you know, generally federal investigations involve, if there are, you know, subpoenas being served, that would be the U.S. Attorney's Office. If they're up, there may be a federal grand jury playing a role in poking at things and making sure those subpoenas are happening. The FBI is very likely asking some questions of people and getting hold of some documents themselves. The parameters and who is doing what is kind of a black box. Of course, the FBI and all federal agencies, basically, you know, there's a cliche that they respond with, that they will neither confirm nor deny the existence of an investigation.
In other words, they're not going to say a word.
They don't tell us a peep.
No, nope.
And so, you know, we rely on other people who have knowledge of what's going on. And this one, you know, took a while to be sourced in the way that we wanted it to be, you know, very sure that something is actually happening and it's not just a rumor. Yeah, and, you know,
we'll
that's why we published the story, because something is happening. And, you know, for somebody who was that prominent and powerful for that long to be, if not the, you know, the subject of this, but at least, you know, seemingly responsible for the circumstances that are being looked at, people should know about that.
Yeah, and quickly, Dylan, I only got about 2 minutes, but Pima County's relationship, its partnership with Catholic Community Services has really paid dividends. Things could have been worse with some of these street releases that happened in Douglas. There might have been one in Nogales. There was Bisbee, but so far Tucson has avoided the street releases with migrants.
Because of the partnership between the county and Catholic Community Services and all the other nonprofits who work on Casa Alitas and you know, other shelters. Tucson has not had migrants, mostly asylum seekers, just dumped off directly on the streets like has happened in other places along the border, as there are so many folks, especially people who are fleeing Venezuela. It seems to be a large portion of the migrants who have been coming over the border in over the last month or so, and we've seen that in Texas quite a bit here in Arizona. And federal authorities have said they're kind of just overwhelmed right now, that they are not able to handle this many people this quickly. Local officials in other places have had problems responding to folks, and here in Tucson, we've had kind of this, existing infrastructure and ways to be ready for this, although they are right at the limit of how many people that they can assist.
I think they're at 1,100 or more, actually, so we're not out of the woods, I guess.
Yeah, and it's, Casa Alitas is set up as kind of a waypoint, a place where folks who have been released by the feds, they can, get a little bit of bite to eat. They can, maybe take a shower, take a few days, be able to get in contact with the people in other parts of the country where they intend on going. They're generally their family members, someone they know, and then, they can, make their way to wherever they're going. It might be, Chicago or New York, mm-hmm. or someplace else, and it's, but not having folks who are just, dropped in a parking lot somewhere and, are kind of at that point at wit's end about how to, help themselves. The county's been able to ease that pressure.
All right, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, reader-supported TucsonSentinel.com. And thanks, Dylan, for Sentinel publishing stories without a paywall, unlike some other or most news outlets.
Well, we think it's vitally important that everyone in this community have access to, local, relevant, deeply reported information. Hiding it from people who, won't pay, can't afford to pay, haven't gotten around to paying yet, or, have problems just, trying to keep themselves logged in someplace in a paywall that doesn't quite work right sometimes.
Thanks.
We don't think that's a good idea. We do rely on people in the community contributing to us. We would not be able to do this watchdog reporting without folks who, send us money and make sure that we are working on behalf of everybody in Southern Arizona.
It's money well spent. Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I'll take a break right here. Dan Gibson filling in for Matt Russell. Dan on the live line, ready to go with Weekend Watch right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
There we go, Weekend Watch, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where it is a beautiful day, 80 degrees. Great weekend over in the, right around 80, actually, for the weekend. Perfect weather to go hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just hanging out in a beautiful environment. Find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, before you take your approximate three-hour drive east of Tucson by visiting Southwest New Mexico, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Here's Dan Gibson in for Matt Russell with some tempting ideas for having a great weekend. How you doing, Dan?
I'm all right. And you?
Doing well, doing well. What?
Okay.
What can we do this weekend that might be find some fun and maybe some good eating?
Well, let's start. It's the 60th anniversary of the Kentucky. If you haven't lived, if you've lived in Tucson any amount of time, you've probably made some regrettable decisions at the Kentucky.
Regrettable, okay, yeah.
I mean, delicious, but regrettable. You know, who among us have not had a multi-person drink in a fishbowl there? Is they're having a big party on Sunday, September 24th, starting at 6 p.m. There'll be a $10 cover at the door, but they will have an exclusive cocktail and food menu, new Kentucky mugs and merchandise, music curated by DJ Han Cholo, and a vintage clothing and art sale with multiple vendors. So you can live your whole tiki lifestyle there all at one moment on Sunday. Should be a good time. I mean, a collectible mug. Who doesn't love a collectible mug?
Actually, the tiki bar there at the Kentucky, one of America's oldest tiki bars, and there are a lot of tiki bars, or at one time there were around the country, but they've managed to survive and thrive, I should say.
Yeah. 60 years in Tucson is no small feat by any stretch of the imagination. Anywhere, it's no small feat.
Nope.
Watershed Management Group is having its 20th anniversary, so they're having a party tonight, the 22nd, from 6 to 10 p.m. That is over at their lab. You'd have to look it up online, but you should make a reservation if you want to go at their website, watershedmanagement.org. They will have drinks from Dragoon Brewing and Bocker Bocker Cider, as well as rainwater mocktails.
Ooh.
Actual rainwater in the drinks. I don't think I've ever had a rainwater drink, but I'm open to it.
Mm.
Also, Fiamme Pizza and Reservation Sensation Fry Bread. So a whole bunch of stuff going on there. Should be a good time. Also, music from local DJ Dirty Verbs. So that's at watershedmg.org.
Monsoon water direct to you. That sounds
yeah,
like
exactly.
It. Yeah. I can take.
I just put my mouth up in the air, but I mean, cocktails sound a little bit better.
I can take. I'll take another quick one, my friend.
All right. Westbound out at the MSA Annex is on Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. is having Mezcal and Mariachi join for spirits, music, and education. They'll have a beautiful mariachi spirit as a performance as well as samples of different agave spirits. There are only 40 seats available. It is free, but it's first come, first serve, so make sure you're there maybe a little bit before 3 just to get a specific spot. But it's brought to you by the part of the La Frontera Tucson International Mariachi Conference. So, little mariachi, a little bit of drinking, a good time all around. around.
All right, Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. Dan, I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you very much.
And to you.
All right, The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by my friend, my German friend, Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Make sure that all of our podcasts are up in a very timely manner. Everybody here at KVOI, including engineer and producer Tom Fairbanks, part of the entire team, actually, at Boosthouse Media Tucson. All of us have the same wish for you this weekend. Be well, everybody. Stay safe, and I hope it is a lovely weekend.